Oh man, biggest movie of the year that we're looking at this weekend, Shang-Chi, and we're going to be digging into how to kind of discover our purpose through this. By the way, how about Brad Brickley and the Crosspoint Band at home? Give them a shout out. My word, that was amazing. Amazing. Hey, my name's Kurt. It's great to have you with us this weekend. If it's your first time with us, we certainly hope it's not your last time, and you've got free movie tickets coming your way. If you're tuning in from home, we are so glad you've chosen to be with us from wherever you may be right here in our city, state, nation, or world, because we realize there's so many places you could be. Now, we're looking at this movie, Shang-Chi, and it's a fascinating movie. I tell you what, that's why I love this series, because I am not a superhero fan. I would never watch these movies, except when we teach on them, and I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Well, we look at the fibers of faith. We look at these spiritual questions that these movies raise. And this one, we're going to dig into this question of how do I live out of my purpose? And, you know, this is Shang-Chi's journey. I mean, this is what he's experiencing. He's a product, as you saw in the trailer, of his mom and dad. He somewhat despises the fact that his father raised him the way that he did. And so his dad basically discovered this thing called the Ten Rings, and it has this incredible power and this ability to create this immortality where he basically just has power that can overcome everyone and conquer countries, and he uses all of it for his own good, for his own benefit, in and of himself. And for Shang-Chi, he just doesn't want anything to do with that. And so he begins to be a part of the Ten Rings organization, then eventually he leaves the organization, he moves to the other side of the world, to San Francisco, and he takes on a whole new name. His name is now Sean, and he is living kind of an underachieving job and life, working as a parking valet attendant, and he's trying to figure out who he really is. And through a myriad of events, he actually comes face to face with the question that he's going to have to answer is of whether or not he's going to step into his purpose, whether or not he's going to choose to live out of the uniqueness that's in him and the things that have been developed in him. And so this is what I want us to explore this weekend, because I think this is kind of a big deal. How do we live out of our purpose? I've had a lot of conversations with some of you, friends outside of this place, reading articles, and I think a lot of people are struggling with, you know, some of the purpose questions. And if we weren't struggling with it before the pandemic, I think the pandemic has kind of pushed us to ask ourselves some of these questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Is my life actually making a difference? Now, as we kind of dig into this, this kind of reminded me of something I heard recently, these two immutable laws of life that says basically this: everybody's got to eat and live indoors, all right? I mean, that's powerful, right? I don't see anybody writing that down. Everybody's got to eat and live indoors. Now, here's why this is so important. Think about this. Until you're eating and you are living indoors, you probably don't have a lot of time to be thinking about purpose, some of the deeper questions in life. And there are people in our world today who don't have anything to eat, and they sleep outside, don't have an ability to sleep indoors. And this is probably the last thing on their mind. But, you know, for the rest of us, those of us here, those of you tuning in online, if you have a device and have access to that kind of technology, you probably have, you know, the ability to eat every day, and you have the ability to live indoors. And so we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But you're likely someone who has the margin and the education and the experience to ask the bigger questions in life. Questions like, hey, why am I here? What's my purpose? All right, the why questions. And I know not all of us are interested in those questions. Some of us are like, yeah, I got way too much on my plate, Kurt. I don't have time to really answer that question. And then others of us, we've just never been introduced to something that really, you know, amped us up and got us super excited. But see, here's what we all know. At some point in our lives, we're going to have to, you know, answer and dig into these questions. And here's why I say that. You know, after you go to a few funerals, you begin to realize that at the end of anyone's life, regardless of how purpose-filled their life was, you know, you go to a funeral service and somebody at that service is going to try to look into their life and find something meaningful to say about what their life was about, right? Which we're going to come back to that word meaningful in just a moment. And so, you know, we try to mine out of every single life, you know, something purposeful. And the reason for this is because it's in you and it's in me. We long to make a difference in the world. We're actually hardwired this way. And so this kind of links us to our topic of how do I live out of that purpose? Now, the other reason, you know, I think this is true is because, you know, through the years, as I've talked to dozens and dozens of men and women, you know, in their 50s, and now it's even in their 40s, even a few, you know, occasions where I've talked to somebody in their mid to upper 30s, and they'll say something like, Kurt, you know, I've built a great career, and I've been really successful, made a lot of money. I mean, you could say I live a blessed life. And I'm just at the stage where I want to make a difference with my life now. I want to do something that matters. Something that has a bit more meaning, perhaps a bit more purpose. Now, let me tell you what I've never heard. I've never had somebody come to me and say, hey, Kurt, my whole life I've been doing meaningful things and I'm just tired of it. My whole life I've been building into other people's lives, making the world better, and I'm sick of doing it. Can you help me just live a meaningless life? I have never been asked that question before in my life. Why is that? Because again, regardless of what season of life we're in and whether we're thinking about purpose or not, or even how, regardless of how purposeless our life might feel right now, there's something in you and there's something in me that wants more. Now, most people aren't powered by purpose. And the reason we're not powered by purpose is because there's a little twist. There's this little kind of gotcha moment when you try to understand, okay, how do I live out a purpose? And we kind of find it in the definition. So I want to give you kind of a working definition for purpose. Purpose is the reason for which something exists or is accomplished. The reason for which something exists or is accomplished. And the gotcha, the tension in this moment right here, and this came out in this weekend's movie, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, it's that nobody ever wants to be the reason for somebody's purpose. Everybody wants to be the something, right? Like nobody wants to be the reason for something. Everybody wants to be kind of the solution to something. Or to put it another way, purpose is a means to an end. But for most of us, most people aren't looking to be a means. Most of us just want to be the end. We just want to be like the result, the solution, right? Because intuitively, I just don't think we think of our lives as a means. And so it's easy to live our entire life and never embrace purpose and to get to the end of our life and, you know, perhaps not even ask kind of the deeper question, you know, was there something more? And so in the meantime, we often ask the wrong questions. And, you know, because we don't want to be a means to an end. And so we ask questions like, what's my purpose? Maybe you've asked that question. Or why am I here? All right, why am I here? Well, we want to know the answer to that question because we want to know when we're not here anymore that people knew that we were there, right? I said my daughter come home from her university recently, and they renamed the whole business department, and somebody made a big donation, and she said, Dad, why do they do that? And I said, well, it's easy, because somebody has a lot of money, probably they're looking to leave a mark, and they're like, I want somebody to know that I was here when I'm not here, so they remember that, hey, I was here one time. So they give a lot of money, put their name up on a building. It's one of the ways we can remind people that, hey, I'm here, right? And so it's interesting because, you know, when we do things like that, once again, it all comes back to me. It's all about me, and so it's not even intuitive. This is why I just really believe that when it comes to us being a means to an end, that's just not the natural way we think of our lives. But see, until we're willing to think of our lives as a means toward an end, you will never, ever, whether it's in your company or in the division of your company that you lead or in your startup or in your faith or in your family or even perhaps in your personal life, you will never, ever be a person that's powered or empowered by purpose. Because the starting and ending point with purpose is understanding that I'm a means towards something bigger than myself. And so perhaps the question isn't, what am I here for? Maybe it's a different question. Perhaps the question we need to be thinking about is, who am I here for? When you think about your organization, your startup, your life, your faith, your family, your community, who are we here for? And let me just tell you, if you don't hear anything else that I share this weekend, I hope you'll hear this right here. Purpose is always found just across the border from what's in it for me. Purpose is always found just across the border from what's in it for me. And to be empowered by purpose, you have to be a means to an end that's not you. And the only way to do that is to be able to realize that there's certain things I've got to say no to myself on in order to say yes to things that are bigger than me. And you're probably connecting the dots because what that means is that purpose has a price. I mean, purpose has a price. And this is why for so many people, their entire lives, we just don't fully live out a purpose because it has a price. Now, let me give you a story to kind of illustrate what this looks like. And this is a story you've probably been touched by, either directly or indirectly. You may or may not know this name, but there's a guy by the name of Larry Merlo. And Larry Merlo is the former CEO of CVS Pharmacy. Anybody ever been to a CVS Pharmacy out of curiosity? Yeah, it's like my pharmacy of choice, CVS Pharmacy. So Larry Merlo, he just handed over the reins to CEO of his role as CEO just earlier this year. But in his tenure, a few years back, he redefined the brand of CVS and the purpose statement. And when they did this, it basically thrust them into this wrestling match, this tension between profit and purpose. And so back in 2014, because of this tension, CVS, you may know this, they decided to become the very first pharmacy chain in America to stop selling tobacco products, to stop selling cigarettes. Now, just, you know, this is a message about tobacco or cigarettes. You probably have your own ideas about that. But they just stopped doing that. And this was not a casual decision. All right. In fact, the decision-making process that he led the company through and the board of directors and he himself went through, I mean, they realized this wasn't going to cost CVS like millions of dollars. It actually was going to cost them billions, billions of dollars. And yet I love what Larry said. He put it this way. He said, put simply, the sale of tobacco products is inconsistent with our purpose. Meaning CVS had redefined a very clear purpose, a very articulated purpose. And their purpose was this. It was helping people on their path to better health. And so they said, we're here to try to help people on a path to better health, which, by the way, is a great statement. Anytime you're like, hey, we're helping people get somewhere, experience them, that's a great mission statement. And yet at the same time, we're selling products that undermine people's personal health. And so there was a tension. And they had to decide, are we going to put profit over purpose or vice versa? And so during his leadership, CVS and Larry decided, hey, we're putting purpose over profit. But it was costly to the tune of like billions of dollars. Because see, purpose has a price. And we admire purposeful people, right? And we admire purposeful organizations and people that make decisions like this. But see, most of us, if we're honest, we choose to just kind of sit on the sidelines when it comes to purpose because, man, the price can be steep. Now, there's a moment in Jesus' life that I want us to look at this weekend, and this is a moment where Jesus is trying to pull his team off the sidelines, all right? Because Jesus knew that purpose is always about other people, and there's always a price. And so this is a very like potent moment from Jesus' life, and you may have heard this story before. In fact, if you grew up in church and Sunday school, you may have even acted out this story before. If you haven't grown up in church and Sunday school, it's totally cool. You probably have even heard of this story, even if you haven't done like a read of the entire Bible. And this shows up in the gospel according to John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life. So John chapter 13, here's what it says. Jesus, knowing the Father had given him all things into his hands, that he had come from God, and was going back to God, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it to his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Man, talk about a powerful moment right here. Now, I think the reason this moment's so powerful is because this is the antithesis of what was supposed to happen in that culture, the way things were supposed to go. And you and I don't fully get this because we got things like bird scooters and buses and bikes and Buicks. I mean, we have all kinds of modes of transportation, right? But like back in this day, in Jesus' day, their mode of transportation was their feet. And so you can imagine when somebody's primary mode of transportation is their feet, all right, and you're walking through the field in your open-toed sandals. And remember, they didn't have like infrastructure systems and sewer systems. A sewer system was like a ditch that ran from one neighborhood to the next. And you're walking along, you know, you step in the sewer system, and then you go visit somebody's house. And so the dirtiest job, the lowest of low jobs on the totem pole, was usually handled by the servant of the house. And so when people walk into this home, you know, just imagine Jesus and his 12 followers, and they're all beginning to sit down. Imagine what they thought when he's the one that takes off his coat, he wraps a towel around his waist, gets down on his hands and knees, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples with his own two hands. I mean, this is a powerful, powerful, iconic moment right here. And what was Jesus doing? He was flipping the script, right? He was modeling for us that purpose, and it has a price. In fact, sacrifice is one of the keys to actually unlocking your purpose. And that really shouldn't come as a surprise to us because this is what the whole kingdom's built on. I mean, his whole movement is built on this idea of sacrificing and there being a price in order that this thing may go forward. Now, another thing that Jesus shows us in this moment is that purpose is actually a pathway to meaning. So here's this word again, meaning, meaningful. And so purpose requires us to be a means to an end. In fact, it's the only way we're going to have a meaningful life. So whenever you hear somebody say, and maybe you've asked this question, maybe, you know, when you hear somebody say, hey, isn't there more to life than this? I mean, surely this isn't it. Surely there's got to be more than this right here. Do you know what
they're actually saying? I mean, if you maybe you've had this conversation. You know what you're actually saying if you've laid in bed and wondered, you know, surely there's more than this. I mean, what we're really saying is there's got to be more to this life than me. Because, see, there's no meaning if you're not willing to move beyond me, because meaning is the path. It's a pathway. And you know this, but those who devote themselves to themselves will ultimately have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. And you've met people like this. And maybe it's because of what I do for a living that I see it more frequently. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done funerals or been to funerals or helped with funerals where, man, you know, we worked long and hard. I mean, I'm like, we're talking to the family, and I'm like, all right, you got to give me more. What else? Tell me more about your grandpa. Tell me more about your great uncle. I mean, tell me more, because I'm just trying to find something that was beyond just them being about themselves. I mean, well, just give me more. I mean, I've worked really hard to try to pull this out because we want to mine this out, right? But we know that a person who lives for themselves, regardless of what they accomplished, at the end of the day, those who devote themselves to themselves will ultimately have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. And see, this is true in life. It's true in work. It's true in our startup. It's true in our personal life. It's true in our spiritual life and our faith. I mean, think about this. And we've talked about this before, but your glory, right? Your glory, you kind of being the solution, the end deal to everything, is way too small for us to live for, right? Because when you live for your glory, when you live for yourself, it just makes us smaller and smaller and smaller. And see, this is what happens in Shang-Chi's outage with his father. He sees his father have this amazing power, and all he does is continue to become smaller and smaller and smaller because he only uses it to benefit himself. Jesus, he goes on. He says, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. I know some of us are going, okay, Kurt, so I mean, the point is we need to walk out of here and just like wash everybody's feet. No, notice the word example right here, all right? He's saying, hey, this is a first century picture right here. It's like I'm giving you an example. In our day and time, when the greatest need when somebody walks into a home is their feet are a mess, they've walked through the sewer, they've walked through fields, I'm giving you an example of one way to do this. See, we've got to do some work. We've got to say, okay, what does it look like for me to meet some of the greatest needs? What's it look like for me to be about and pay attention to what the needs are going on around me? He says, I give this to you as an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, notice the first line. This is fascinating. He says, do you understand what I have done to you? He doesn't say what I've done for you. He actually did something for the disciples, right? He washed their feet. He helped their feet be clean. But he says, understand what I've done to you, because he understood he was a means to a greater end. And in doing something for, it actually accomplished something bigger. What's he done to them? He said, nothing short but blow their mind on what greatness is, right? Blow their mind on what it means to live a life of purpose by showing them and modeling for them what a purpose-filled life looks like. And through this picture, I mean, he does the same for you and me. So you and I were actually designed with purpose in mind. Like, it's why you admire it. It's why I admire it. I mean, it's why when we see movies like Shang-Chi, I mean, you have to ask yourself, why do these things connect with me? Why am I so inspired by what he chose to do in that moment? Because on one hand, I'm challenged. I'm like, wow, man, I want to be that kind of person. And then on the other hand, I'm like, man, I'm not sure I can be that kind of person. I don't know that I would have the tenacity to be able to do what he did, right? There's something inspiring about stepping into that space right there. That's why I think, you know, companies like CVS are so inspiring, right? I mean, if you think about what it's like to be on the board of CVS when Larry Merlo comes and says, hey, I really want us to move on purpose over profit. I mean, you got to think every board member is going, oh my gosh, like this guy costs us billions of dollars. Now, on the outside looking in, we're like, oh man, we're inspired by what they do, right? We're inspired at how they lived out of that purpose. And that's why we also go, man, I'm sure glad I wasn't on that board. I'm sure glad I didn't have to make that decision, right? Matt relate to this a little closer to home. This is why when I talk to people about the challenges we continue to go through, you know, with COVID season and as a church and Crosspoint and, you know, just trying to continue to do our part to continue to help people to find their way to God, help people see that there's a God who loves them, who runs after them, who just wants to be restored in relationship. And this is a God who's good and can be trusted. But we're also called to love others generously and care for people and have to make decisions on mask protocols and have to make decisions on protocols for kids and students because we continue to be in a pandemic. And we have to be responsive to our, you know, our civic responsibility, to our local leaders. Why is it that almost all the time when I'm having these conversations, I'll hear somebody say, oh my gosh, Kurt, I sure am glad I don't have to make the decisions that you make every day. Well, it's because purpose has a price. There's a sacrifice that's involved. And it costs us something. And on one hand, we're challenged by it. And on the other hand, we're like, man, I don't know that I could do that. Which is why we're diving into this weekend. Because we're created for purpose. And it's in you and it's in me to long for more. And see, your life at the end of it, at the end of your career, and when you sell your company or you get the gold watch, you know, for your years of service, or when you hand in that key fob and you're like going home, you're like, you're smiling and taking it, right? You're like, man, I'm not coming back. I'm done. You know, whatever it is. Or when you, you know, go to that new place or that new company or that new startup, whatever it might be. I mean, this is what you want, right? Because we know if we devote ourselves to something more than ourselves, you'll ultimately have more than yourself to show for yourself. Like, I think ultimately that's what we long for. And so to sum it up, three things. Purpose, it's a means to an end. Purpose has a price. And purpose is a pathway to meaning. Which means, I hope, as you think about this, you think about your life, as you think about where you are, and just, okay, what's God doing in me and through me? I hope you'll at least consider becoming a means to an end. And see, that's a decision you've got to make. I mean, I can't make that for you. I can talk around it. I can try to inspire you and help us see the value of it. But I know the challenge. I know the challenge. I know some of us sitting there going, Kurt, listen, you don't understand where I work. I mean, if you just knew my business, or you don't know where I am in the business. I mean, I'm not the top dog. Like, you're the top dog. All right, you got a lot of freedoms I don't have. Or, you know, you just don't understand, you know, the complexities of what I do. And I would say you're absolutely right, which is why the question is so much more important. Because at some point, regardless of those things, you've got to decide, and I've got to decide, am I willing to become a means to an end? Or do I just want to be the end? Do I just want to be like the end thing? In fact, let me put it this way. Here's the way to think about it. Would you rather be the shovel or would you rather be the hole? You don't like that one? All right, we'll try this one. Would you rather be the plunger or would you rather be the... All right, so you get the point, right? Like, meaning is found when we're the means, not the end. All right, let me give you one more. Cheryl Batch Elder. You may know the name Cheryl Batch Elder. She went to the Kelley School of Business at Indiana University. You may know her better as the CEO of Louisiana Popeye's Louisiana Chicken. And she was the CEO from 2007 to 2017, wildly successful. She lives this servant leadership kind of life. She wrote a book, in fact, while she was leading Popeye's Chicken called Dare to Serve. She went through a brand rebranding process with the company. And just so you have an idea, I mean, they're amazingly successful in this 10-year reign that she had over the company where they, you know, their stock, I mean, if you bought stock when she started it, you know, multiplied like sixfold by the time they got bought out 10 years later. And so, you know, here's what she says in her book right here. She says, the point of purpose, now understand, this is somebody who's been there and done that. The point of purpose is to determine how you serve others. I mean, think about this for a moment. If you're going to live, and I'm going to live a life on purpose, it means we've got to decide to not be the end, but be the means to the end. How am I going to do it? And then she goes on, it gets even more points. She says, and if you don't plan to serve, which is a choice, you don't need a purpose. To which you go, whoa, what do you mean we don't need a purpose? I want a purpose. Well, she says, okay, so you got to decide. If you want your life to be about something bigger than yourself, you're going to need a purpose. Otherwise, you don't really need a purpose. See, the point is you can't divorce purpose from service. You can't divorce purpose from choosing to be a part of something bigger than yourself. That's the challenge. That's why so many of us miss it. So three things. I'm going to give you three things that you can do today. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like next steps like these. I'm going to give you some real tangible next steps in a moment. But these are more like thinking next steps, which I like real concrete ones. But I just think this is like things we've got to kind of choose. And so I'm going to give you a few things to help us kind of stir our thinking here. First one is this. Would you begin looking at everything you're currently doing through the lens of means? Now, this is a mental shift right here, all right? Meaning if you've been in leadership for very long or if you've got a decent amount of life experience, you probably know that the most significant moments of change in your life come because of a shift in your thinking, because there's a mindset shift. And so, you know, a mental shift often leads to extraordinary things. And so when we look at our life, I want you to think, okay, can I look at everything I do through a lens of, okay, this is a means towards something bigger versus it being like I'm just working toward the result, all right? Because since purpose is a means, anytime you embrace the means towards something bigger, you're actually engaging in purposeful behavior. So for example, you know, if you think about your job, you say, but Kurt, I'm in a dead-end job. All right? I get it. I'm not saying don't look for another job. I'm not even saying don't continue to apply for other jobs. All right? Go ahead and do that. But in the meantime, remember that that dead-end job is allowing, you remember our phrase, the kind of big, you know, irrefutable law of life? If it's allowing you to eat and live indoors, then that job, even though you may want to change it, it's actually providing a means toward a greater end, right? You might say, but Kurt, I'm just paying the bills. Okay, I get it. Have you ever noticed what happens when you stop? Like, that doesn't go so well, right? See, you don't just manage budgets with whatever you do. You don't just teach school. You don't just do sales or clean floors or clean toilets or fix cars. Or you don't just pastor people or speak from a stage. And parents, for those of you who are raising kids, and we hit this a few months ago, but I think it's worth saying again, consider this. Your greatest contribution to the world may not be something you do, but it may be someone you raise. May not be something you do, it may be someone you raise. And so the first step in understanding and making kind of a pathway to purpose is saying, okay, how can I begin to look at my life, everything I do, as a means toward a greater end? And then the second thing is pay attention to what stirs your heart. Pay attention to what stirs your heart this week. You know, what breaks your heart? When you see things, what breaks your heart? Or a better way to say it, what would you like people to line up at your funeral for to tell you what they're thankful for? But what would you, you know, at the end of your life, what do you want people to line up and say, hey, man, I am so glad that you were here because? I mean, what's the thing that just puts a tear in your eye every time that you, when you see it, man, it breaks your heart? See, purpose, think about this for a moment. Purpose is often found at the intersection of a broken heart, opportunity, and skill. It's found at that intersection right there. And then another thing we can do is surround ourselves with people who are on-purpose people. Surround yourself with people who aren't afraid themselves to say, okay, I want to be about something more. In fact, this is one of the reasons that the 49-day challenge coming up here in 2 weeks is going to be so powerful, all right? Because you have the opportunity to get around, and you're going to hear us talk over the next few weeks over and over about getting into home teams, getting into groups. Why? It's not because we just want to fill groups. It's because we believe that when we get with people who are heading in the same direction, that there's something that happens. If I get people who are on-purpose people that want to experience something greater than they currently are experiencing, I just believe we all grow. And so you know, Sunday at noon, man, these things open up and you can begin to get connected with a home team. Now, think about this. Self-centeredness is a pathway, just like selfishness is a pathway. Depending on which group you connect with, your life's going to take a trajectory in a certain way, all right? Generosity and greed, two different things, are both pathways. So again, depending on which kind of people we get, you know, in a circle with, our lives are going to begin to trend in another direction. Now, here's the thing. If you want to live on purpose, you've got to surround yourself with people who are running in the same direction. So the question I want to leave you with is, are you willing to be a means? Are you willing to be a means rather than an end? And if the answer is no, you're probably going to do some great things, and you could make a decent amount of money. But in terms of engaging in purpose, Am I willing to become a means towards something bigger than myself, or do I just want to be an end? Are you willing in your organization? Listen, this is hard organizationally, but it happens. In your organization, are you willing to be a means toward an end that's bigger than just your bottom line? In your personal life, are you willing to be a means toward an end that's bigger than just a bigger bank account or a bigger paycheck or a higher status position? And if you do, I'm going to tell you what, you're never going to regret it. And if you don't, there's probably going to be a moment where you wish you did. So where do we begin? I'll share with you one more story. I recently heard a guy who had a chance to sit down with Mother Teresa. He went out to serve at Mother Teresa's home a number of years ago when she was still alive. The home for the destitute and dying, people who don't have anybody to take care of them when they're dying. She had a home where she just cared for people who were dying. And he spent a couple months at this home with Mother Teresa, and there was one particular day where she walked in while he was serving someone who was on their deathbed, and she said to him, she said, "Is there anything that I can pray for you on?" And he, how cool is that, right? Like Mother, we call her Mama T in our house. Mother Teresa, I mean, she's like, "Can I pray for you?" perhaps one of the most godly women has ever graced the earth. And so he said, "Actually, there is. I've got some pretty big decisions coming my way, and I could use some clarity on these decisions." And he says, she looked at me and she said, "Okay, I'm happy to pray for you, but I'm gonna be honest, God doesn't usually give me clarity. In fact, I've never really had clarity, but what God does give me is opportunities." I thought, whoa. See, so many times we're like, "Oh God, I need clarity, God. I need clarity on what I'm supposed to do." Okay. I hope if that's what you're looking for, that God brings that. But more important, it might be that he's actually bringing opportunities one after another, like waves, into your life right now in front of you. See, that's what Chang Che discovered. I mean, his heart broke. His heart broke for his mother's village because his dad was wielding his power solely for himself. And he sees this as an opportunity to step in and be a difference maker. He sees that, man, this is an opportunity for me to step in. All right, I mean, I have real good clarity, but here's an opportunity. Listen, there's all kinds of opportunities. If you're looking for your life to be a part of something bigger than yourself, all kinds of opportunities here at Crosspoint. Opportunities to join volunteer teams. You can go to crosspointweb.com/volunteer and you'll walk through kind of a guided tour of ways you can connect around here. You know, you can join the Westville launch team, be a part of something bigger, helping other people experience God. Opportunities in your company, in your neighborhood, students at the school that you attend, for you to be about things that are bigger than yourselves. See, this is the intersection. Purpose is found at the intersection of a broken heart, opportunity, and skill. And for Chang Che, he decided and had to decide whether he was going to draw on all the incredible skills that had been developed in him in his childhood and whether he was going to put those in to practice at this moment of intersection in his life. And if I'm honest, I think the reason I'm drawn to stories like this is because this is my story. This is Crosspoint's story. When we started Crosspoint 15 years ago, Julie and I were standing in our kitchen. Our hearts were breaking for our neighbors, our friends, who were very interested in God and totally turned off by church. And a group came along and presented an opportunity. And I'm going to be honest, I was reluctant. I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know that I want to do that. It's a lot of work, a lot, big price to pay." And I remember Julie saying to me, "Kurt, why are you not willing to step into this? This opportunity is right here. I mean, God's prepared you for this moment right here." And little did I realize that the skills that had been honed in me over the last 12 years previously, developing students, student ministry, launching a student ministry, were the very skills that would actually translate forward to starting a church. So what's the step you need to take this week? What opportunity is staring you in the face? I mean, square in the face, it's bigger than just to benefit you. What's breaking your heart right now? What skills have maybe been developed in you for such a time as right now? I can assure you that if you devote yourself to something more than yourself, you'll ultimately have more than yourself to show for yourself. I think that's what we all want. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to pray for us. We're going to sing one more song. God, we all want our lives to matter. And there's probably a number of us that are wondering right now, okay, what is that for me? And you've embedded that desire in us, so thank you. And I just pray that you help us know what to do with what we've heard, help us to be discerning and to notice what's going on around us and give us the courage to step in. Because we know when we're running after things that make your heart beat fast, when we're using our lives to be a blessing and to be generous with others, we know we're running in the right direction. So thank you for modeling this for us. Thank you for showing us what it means to sacrifice towards something bigger than ourselves and for being such a gracious, gracious King. And we just want to say thank you.